Hello.
Hello. I haven't come on yet.
I hear a lot of noise. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. It's Hannah.
Oh, hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
How about yourself? Okay.
Kind of mixed thing going on right now.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I'm fixing the phone here, that's why. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, bye.
And was something going on Saturday? Because I called around 7 and there wasn't any class going. And
well,
happened Saturday night that I missed.
I was in Alabama for my grandson's wedding, so I wasn't able to do anything on the
weekend. Okay.
We didn't get back until late yesterday. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
Grandson's wedding. Very nice.
It was really beautiful. Yes, it was. It was a long drive, though, for us. We had to drive 7 hours.
7 hours? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so did you stay over there?
Yes.
Seven hours? Yes, you did.
Mm. Yeah, we stayed 2 nights. We left in the morning and got there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Is that where you live?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Yadula Chimimpa. Dati. Terura. Alakokimo Yasaf Sabi. Kabil Rinat. Amcha sagbenu, acharenu, nora. Ufreshayan sintet nun. Na gibor, dor shechu pa, evava, da amren. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barhem tacharem rachame sidkara sidkatsa dami damrem betet resh saditaf gimel. Kasim kadosh vero tucha na'el Kufet tet nunayan. Yahid geer leim lamcha pene zokre kiddushata. Yud gimalamed e zayan kuf. Shavatenu kabel
rushma
tuyaka yodea talumot. Kinkufav, Tzadiyot Taf. The letters of the month of Cheshvan, the Dalet that created the planet Ma'adin, the planet Mars, and the Nun that created the constellation the constellation Akrav, which is the astrological sign of Scorpio. Dalet and Nun together spell the Hebrew word din, which translates as judgment. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we're going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech Apaim. Verav Chesed Be'emeth. Noser Chesed La'alapim. Nosea Won Wafesha. Vechata'a Vinakei. We're now going to connect to the Zohar through the verse from Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29, that has the energy of certainty. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimud Hilud Hilu Urchimu Le'afda L'shem Yehudei Bevavhe V'yehudah Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodeneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodenehu Rabbi Abba Amar Deka Ma'atzar Taneinan Dekucha Perifu Koma De'aved Le'ela Wittata Olaihu Yishot V'yovada Yishot V'leilach Mila V'alma Divaye Barnash L'dachya Le'ya Mineya Ulan Hada Be'ya Delana B'hakulu Ovada Yishot Inun Wikola It's the Rif B'alma. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, which is the time to bow so that we can walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first one that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, vayichal v'yavo, hamelech liroto, vayomer Amnon, el hamelech tavo, natamar achoti, utlabev leine, shite levivot, bere miyada. The second verse that we read has concealed within this verse the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Chet. The letters of that name, the letters of the name of the year, are separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiacha Yavoni Lo Kisiti Amarti Ode Ale Pashai Ladonai Ohewahe Viata Nasata Avon Chatati Sela. Now for the year 5777, the year of the goat, there are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first verse that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor o yevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these verses, of this verse, we are able to permute them into Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute them into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, and the letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Ba'adonai Yo-Hei-Wahei Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, known as the Year of the Pause, also has two verses. The first one that we study, first verse that we study connecting to the Year of the Pause, is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat v'lo yachlu lehavshi et kol ha-olot Vayechaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kilot Hamlacha Yad Yitkachu HaKohanim Ki Halevim Yishre Levav Leitkadesh Me HaKohanim. The second, this verse has 25 words. When we take these 25, the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohewahe Lahe Wawawa Yolayo Alame He Aka'a Rekaha. The second verse that we study connecting to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tur olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyam asher yitchabe sham washaltem el el nachon v'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'hipasti. Oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan tahtal v'lo yergaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto. We're now going to connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. And we do this by saying all 216 letters of these names utilizing their root vowels. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te a la me me he shi la la he aka a ka he ta he za yo a la da la a wa he he a yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me la a wa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la mu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa mu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he fe ko ta wa ko me nu ta a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo wa he wa du da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me sa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo da me be me nu de ko a yo a pe be wa re a he yo be me pe yo yo me wa me. There are three names that connect to the year 5778, our current year. The first of the three is name number 13, Yud Zayin Lamed, Yozala. The energy of this name is heaven on earth. Name number 14 is the second name that we study in addition to the whole chart. It's Mem Bet Hey, Me Be Hey. The energy of this name is to farewell to arms. And name number 30 is the third name. It's Aleph Vav Mem, Awa Me. The energy of this name is building bridges. And what we learn from these three names and the connection to this year is that by building bridges among people so that we can eliminate or reduce conflicts between within families, within people, within groups, within countries, the more we do that, the more we can say farewell to arms, farewell to world wars, farewell to conflicts. And this is how we bring heaven down to earth. We're now going to connect to the 72 names for Tzaddikim in the same manner, with the root vowels connected to the 216 letters. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he te he wa nu yo he he shi ya yo re ta shi ya he re la yo a wa me la yo me wa he re yo yo wa le he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey. Sa a la a re yo a a la me ta hey. Wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me. Nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. There's also one name that is the same as one of the three names from the 72 names of God. It's in the same location and it's the same letters. It's name number 30, Aleph Vav Mem, Awameh. The energy of this name is building bridges. And we learn from this duplication, we learn from this emphasis, how important building bridges among people is in achieving the Mashiach consciousness of heaven down to earth. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the fourth day of Cheshvan, Rav Colonius Kalman Shapira, he is the author of a book that was written during the Warsaw Ghetto and was buried during the Warsaw Ghetto. It was basically his commentaries on the Zohar, on the Torah portions during that period of time of 1944-45, or really 43-44. But it's a very powerful book that has been translated into English. Rabbi Arya Lieb Gurwitz, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzhak Dan Landa, known as the Strikeover Rebbe, and Rabbi Yoav Yehoshua Weingarten of Kinsk, the Chokas Yoav. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's row 16, the right-hand column. It's the landing page for Rabbi Ashlag's essays. And it has been about 2.5 months that we've been preparing for the Tishrei holidays. Well, roughly that long. So it is essay number 31A, and it's the second half of essay number 31. And we start at section 60. Now, for those of you who have forgotten what the first half of the essay is, you can find the recording for that essay on the row 19 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. You can find the recordings in row 3, the right, three columns from the right, in the last row, row 19, I believe. But when you open that up, you only have some recent recordings. But at the bottom of that link, that landing page of the recordings, you have two links to earlier recordings. This recording of class number 31 with Rabbi Ashlag is located in the second link, the one that it ended up in September. It ran from April to September. All the recordings from April to September are in that link. And you can find the recording for Rabbi Ashlag, class number 31, which is the first half of what we are going to be reading tonight and discussing tonight. So I will start reading at section 60, but you are able to pick up and follow, when you have time, the earlier recording. Class number 60. And as for me, since the day I have been endowed by the light of the Creator with a glance into this holy book, which is the Zohar, it has not crossed my mind to question its origin, for the simple reason that the content of the book brings to my heart the merit of the Tana Rashbi, who is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, far more than all other sages. And if I were to clearly see that its author is some other name, such as Rabbi Moshe de Leon, then I would praise the merit of Rabbi Moshe de Leon more than all other sages, including Rashbi. Indeed, judging by the depth of the wisdom in the book, if I were to clearly find that its writer is one of the 48 prophets, I would consider it much more acceptable than to relate it to one of the sages. Moreover, if I were to find that Moses himself received it from the Creator himself on Mount Sinai, then my mind would really be at peace, for such a composition is worthy of him. Hence, since I have been blessed with compiling a sufficient interpretation that enables every examiner to acquire some understanding of what is written in the book, I think I am completely excused from further toil in that examination. For any person who is knowledgeable in the Zohar will now settle for no less than the Tana Rashbi as its writer. As an unwritten commentary, this section is talking about who wrote the Zohar. And Rabbi Ashlag was involved and aware of the conflict, the Michlochet that was going on even in his time, and up until recently has been going on among the academic Kabbalists. Who wrote the Zohar? The academic Kabbalists say it was Rabbi Moshe de Leon in Spain around the year 1170. While all practicing Kabbalists, including Rabbi Ashlag and Rabbi Berg and others from earlier generations, all say it was Rabbi Shimon. You all can decide for yourselves based on the arguments if you ever want to look at it. I have looked into those arguments. I do not find them meritorious, but that doesn't mean that you might not. But the bottom line issue is it doesn't really matter who wrote the Zohar, because the Zohar is a book of such wisdom that it can be utilized no matter who wrote it. And while we need to praise who wrote it, and the practicing Kabbalists all tend to praise Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if you determine for yourself that it is written by someone else, as long as you praise that person, you are showing your appreciation for their efforts in giving you this material. And that's what it's all about. Appreciation. Section 61. Accordingly, the question arises, why was the Zohar not revealed to the earlier generations, whose merit was undoubtedly greater than the latter ones, and were more worthy. We must also ask, why was the commentary on the book of Zohar not revealed before the time of the Ari, and not to the Kabbalists that preceded him? And the most bewildering question, why were the commentaries on the words of the Ari and on the words of the Zohar not revealed since the days of the Ari through our generation? Before we continue reading, I want to stress that every week for the last 6 months, at the bottom of my emails, I have given you a number of references from sages throughout the generations who have told us that the Zohar is important and has given us information about what the Zohar is teaching us. And I strongly recommend that you take the time to review those. In addition, there are in the links of the recordings a series of classes that I gave on why the Zohar was written, or why the Zohar, why study Kabbalah. And if you take the time to find those recordings, you will also find that beneficial. So I'm continuing to read. The answer is that the world, during the 6,000 years of its existence, is like one part suf, divided into three-thirds. A part suf is a structure of 10 sephirot, to remind you what it is. So the thirds are the rosh, which is the head, the three upper sephirot, the toch, the interior, and the sof, the end. So the head is composed of chokmah, bina, and daat, or keter, chokmah, and bina, depending on how you structure that. The toch, the interior, or the middle, or the body, is chesed, gevurah, and tiferet. And the end is netzach, hod, and yesod. And if somebody's going to say, what happened to malchut? Yesod and malchut are always connected. And this is what our sages wrote. Two millennia of tohu, chaos, two millennia of Torah, and two millennia of the days of the Mashiach. In the first two millennia, considered the Rosh, and Chachma, Bina, and Daat, the lights were very small. They were regarded as Rosh without a goof, without a body, a head without a body, having only the lights of Nefesh. This is because there is the inverse relation between lights and vessels. With the kelim, the vessels, the rule is that the first kelim, the first vessel, grow first in each part suf. And with the lights, it is the opposite. The smaller lights dress in the part suf first. We've gone through this in our discussions about the candle lighting of Hanukkah. We've gone through this in other classes. But as an unwritten commentary, I just want to explain. The first light that comes in the idea, the first light is a small light. It's the light of Malchut, the light of Nefesh. But what vessel does it come into? It comes into Keter, the largest vessel. Now, the next light that comes in is Yesod, which moves the light of Malchut out of the vessel of Keter and into the vessel of Chachmah. But it's still not It's a small light in a large vessel. And it's only until all 10 lights have progressed down that the 10 vessels are the proper lights are in the proper vessel. And that is the completion known as the Mashiach. And this is what Rabbi Ashlag is explaining is the reason why the earlier generations did not have the merit to bring the Mashiach. It's because while their vessels were large, the lights that they were revealing were small relative to those vessels. And each generation has built the revelation of lights upon the earlier generations, so that the final generations, which will be the light of Chachma, the light of the Zohar, and all of what we are studying in Kabbalah today, it's the proper light for the larger vessel. And while we may not have that vessel, those vessels were built by the earlier generation. So they're there. We just have to reveal a little bit, and they get filled. The proper light goes into the proper vessel. So I'm continuing to read. Thus, as long as only the upper parts are in the vessels, the kelim, then the kelim of Chachma, Bina, and Daat, only lights of Nefesh dress there, which are the smallest lights. And this is why it is written about the first two millennium that they are considered Tohu, chaos. And in the second two millennium of the world, which is the kelim of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, the light of Ruach descends and clothes in the world, which are the vessels of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. The light of Ruach descends and clothes in the world, which is considered the Torah, the body. And this is why it is said about the two middle millennium that they are Torah. And the last two millennium are the vessels of Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. Therefore, at that time, the light of Neshama dresses in the world, which is the greater light, and hence they are the days of the Mashiach. This is also the conduct in each particular partsuf, in its vessels of Chesed, Chachma, Bina, and Daat, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, through its chazeh, through the chest, and the lights are covered and do not begin to shine, which is open chesedim, which means that the appearance of the sublime light of Chachma occurs only from the chazeh down, from the chest down, in its nefesh, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. And this is the reason that before the Kelim of Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut began to show in the Partsuf of the world, which are the last two millennium, the wisdom of the Zohar in particular and the wisdom of Kabbalah in general were hidden from the world. But during the time of the Ari, when the time of the completion of the vessels below the chest, the chazeh, had drawn closer, the light of the sublime Chachma was revealed in the world through the soul of the godly Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Ari, who was ready to receive that great light. Hence he revealed the essentials in the book of the Zohar and the wisdom of Kabbalah until he overshadowed all his predecessors. Yet since these vessels were not yet completed, since he passed away in 500-600 years ago, The world was not yet worthy of discovering his words, and his holy words were only known to a chosen few, who were prohibited to tell them to the world. Now, in our generation, since we are nearing the end of the last two millennia, we are given permission to reveal his words and the words of the Zohar throughout the world to a great measure, in such a way that from our generation onwards, the words of the Zohar will become increasingly revealed in the world until the full measure is revealed as the Creator wills it. I think with my explanations, this section, these last few sections are clear. But if not, feel free to ask questions. Section 63. Now you can understand that there really is no end to the merit of the first generations over the last, as this is the rule in all the partsufim, all of the partsufs of the world and of the souls, that the pure one is the first to be selected into the partsuf. Therefore, the purer vessel, Chachma, Bina, and Daat, were selected first in the world and in the souls. Thus, the souls in the first two millennium were much higher, yet they could not receive the full measure of light due to the lack of the lower parts in the world and in themselves, which are Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, and Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. And afterwards, in the two middle millennia, when the vessels of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet were selected into the world, and the souls were indeed very pure in and of themselves. This is because the merit of the vessels of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet is close to that of Chachma, Bina, and Daat. Yet the lights were still concealed in the world due to the absence of the vessels from the chest down in the world and in the souls. Thus, in our generation, although the essence of the souls is the worst, which is why they could not be selected for Kedusha thus far, they are the ones that complete the partsuf of the world. And the partsuf of the souls with respect to their vessels and the work completed only through them. And this is because now when the vessels of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod are being completed and all the kelim, all the vessels of the Rosh, the Toch, and the Stoch are in the partsuf, full measures of light in Rosh, Toch, and so are now being extended to all those who are worthy, meaning complete nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Or maybe it's the other way around. It's neshama, ruach, and nefesh. Hence, only after the completion of these lowly souls can the highest lights manifest, and not before. Section 64. Indeed, even our sages asked this question. Rav Papa said to Abaya, how were the first different that a miracle had happened to them? And how are we different that a miracle is not happening to us? Is it because of the study? During the years of Rav Yehuda, the whole study was in Nesikin, whereas we are learning the six volumes, the whole Mishnah. And when Rav Yehuda delved in Okatsin, he said, I saw Rav and Shmuel here, whereas we are learning 13 yeshivot in Okatsin. And when Rav Yehuda took off one shoe, the rain came, whereas we torment our souls and cry out, and no one notices us. And he replied, "The first gave their souls to the sanctity of the Lord." Thus, although it is obvious, both to the one who asks and to the one who answers, that the first were more important than they with respect to the Torah and the wisdom, Rav Papa and Abaya were more important than the first. Thus, although the first generations were more important than the latter generations in the essence of their souls, because the pure is selected to come to the world first, with respect to the wisdom of the Torah, it is increasingly revealed in the later generations. This is so for the reason we have mentioned that the overall measure is completed specifically by the latter ones. And this is why more complete lights are extended to them, although their own essence is far worse. As an unwritten commentary, for someone to put on tefillin one day in his life is so much more difficult for him to do, and there is so much more light settled in all of the partsufim, all of the levels. But it seems like in earlier generations they laid tefillin every day. There was no question about it. They didn't struggle to lay tefillin. They didn't take abuse from their neighbors. They laid tefillin. Whereas in our generation, it's very difficult to lay tefillin. It's very difficult to bake challah for women. It's very difficult to light candles. So that if someone does that this Shabbat, next Shabbat, if someone is making that effort, the light that they reveal pushes downward all of the earlier light that was revealed by the greater sages. Thus, that the right vessel and the right light come together. I hope that's clear. Section 65. Hence, we could ask, why then is it forbidden to disagree with the first in the revealed Torah? It is because as far as the practical part of the mitzvot is concerned, it is to the contrary. The first were more complete in them than the last. This is because the act extends from the holy vessels of the Sefirot and the secrets of the Torah and the ta'amim, the flavors, the tastes of the mitzvah, extend from the lights in the Sefirot. You already know that there is an inverse relation between lights and vessels. In the vessels, the higher one grows, the higher ones grow first, which is why the first were more complete in the practical part than the last. But with the lights, where the lower ones enter first, the last are more complete than the first. Verse 66, or section 66. Bear in mind that in everything there is internally and externally. In the world in general, Israel and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are considered the internality of the world, and the 70 nations are considered the externality of the world. Also, there is internality within Israel themselves, which are the wholehearted workers of the Creator, and there is externality, those who do not devote themselves to the work of the Creator. Among the nations of the world, there is internality as well, which are the righteous of the nations of the world. and there is externality, which are the rude and harmful among them. Additionally, among the servants of the Creator, among the children of Israel, there is internality, being those rewarded with comprehension of the soul of the internality of the Torah and its secrets, and externality who merely observe the practical part of the Torah. That paragraph is beginning, this is an unwritten commentary, that paragraph is beginning to explain why there are people who don't study the Zohar yet, and why there are people who don't bake challah yet, don't light candles for Shabbat yet, and why there are. Because they're all related to this concept of internal and external. Continuing to read. Also, there is internality in every person from Israel. The Israel within, which is the point in the heart, and externality, which is the inner nations of the world, the body itself. But even the inner nations of the world in that person are considered proselytes, since by cleaving to the internality, they become like proselytes from among the nations of the world that came and cleaved to the whole of Israel. An unwritten commentary is we're beginning to see some understanding of how we have so many different people in different parts of the world who are saying, I want to study the Torah. I want to study the Zohar. I want to lay tefillin even though I'm not Jewish. I want to light candles for Shabbat, even though I'm not Jewish. All of these different energies are being revealed in our generation because we're building on all the previous generations. Section 67. When a person from Israel enhances and dignifies one's internality, which is the Israel in that person, over the externality, which are the nations of the world within him, that is when one dedicates the majority of one's efforts to enhance and exalt one's internality to benefit one's soul and gives minor efforts, the mere necessity, to sustain the nations of the world within him, meaning that the bodily needs, as it is written in Avot, make your Torah permanent and your labor temporary. By so doing, one makes the children of Israel soar upwards in the internality and externality of the world as well. And the nations of the world, which are the externality, to recognize and acknowledge the value of the children of Israel. And if, God forbid, it is to the contrary, and an individual from Israel enhances and appreciates one's externality, which is the nations of the world within him, more than an inner Israel within him, as it is written, the stranger that is in the midst of thee, meaning the externality in that person rises and soars, and you yourself, the internality, the Israel in you, plunges down. With these actions, one causes the externality of the world in general, the nations of the world, to soar ever higher and to overcome Israel, degrading them to the ground, and the children of Israel, the internality in the world, to plunge deep down. Section 68. Do not be surprised that one person's actions bring elevation or decline to the whole world. For it is an unbending law that the general and the particular are as equal as two peas in a pod. And all that applies in the general applies in the particular as well. Moreover, the parts make what is found in the whole, or the general, can appear only after the appearance of the parts in it, according to the quality and quantity of the parts. Evidently, the value of an act of a part elevates or declines the entire world, the entire whole. That will clarify to you what is written in the Zohar, that by engagement in the book of Zohar and the wisdom of truth, they will be rewarded with complete redemption from exile. We might ask, what has the study of the Zohar to do with the redemption of Israel from among the nations? We are out of time. And this is probably a good place to stop our study for tonight. I'm sure you realize we're going very slowly, but this material is important. And this material takes time to understand. And we are using our time to connect to the various levels, the 72 names of God, the Tzaddikim, the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, the Anabakoa. It's taking up about half of our time because we're doing all those previous verses from the previous years. And yet that connection is really being explained in this discussion tonight. By doing that, we are revealing light that is helping to settle the light into the vessels so that the proper light goes into the proper vessel, and the proper action and the proper kavanah take place. So I apologize, and I don't apologize. I'm just explaining to you why we're going so slowly in this material. But this material does require us to take it slowly because it is very difficult material that we are studying. And the other verses, the other essays that Rabbi Ashlag has written that we will continue to study are also difficult and important in order to reveal it, because it's helping us understand the Tikkuni Zohar that we are struggling with to understand, and yet just by studying it, just by reading it, we're revealing so much light that is finding its way to its proper vessel. Okay, does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow night, our 4:30 class is continuing section 13 of Parashat Noach, and our 7 o'clock class will continue our study of the Tikkuni Zohar. And you can understand how important those classes are. I bid you all shalom. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.